welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a timeless classic from Portugal, namely the Quinta do Noval Saval Vintage Port from 2000. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. You know, Rob, it's good to hear your voices perking back up after the beating you've taken over the weekend from your wife for doing bad things with your family's resources.
It's my resources, but that's okay.
Rob got in trouble with his wife. He went out and did something rather juvenile.
I went out and did... it's called Manifest Destiny, dickhead.
Manifest Destiny.
I just said, fuck it. Have you ever had like that time where... Well, I'm middle-aged, so hopefully. Where you kind of have a...
I hope you reach middle age.
Yeah. Where you kind of have a meltdown and you say, you know what? Fuck this shit. And you just go and do something you shouldn't do. And even when you're doing it, you go, man, I shouldn't be doing this. But you do it anyway. But then you turn out like 3 days later, you're like, okay, great. I did that. I bought a Mustang GT, but an older one, a 2007. So not a new one, naturally, but an older one. I'm trying to, you know, white trash it up a little bit.
Be brilliant conversation with Rob on the way home, making said purchase, trying to explain his philosophies and how he was probably in trouble, not quite in trouble. Why, Becky? Was giving him mixed signals about the purchase.
It was tense Friday night. But then I just started being really nice on Saturday, and I got so nice she was uneasy about it. But it seemed to smooth things out. Obviously, she's still not pleased with me, but she's not openly hostile. So that is a start. And she's not even – it hasn't arrived yet. They're delivering it. And so she hasn't – it hasn't even been in her presence yet. Now, I'm assuming when it gets in her presence – things will go slightly south, because I can tell you there's some things in this world that she does not like. A, the wine we're drinking tonight, which is Quinta do Noval Saval Vintage Port, and this Mustang. She will not like this because it's not Becky.
Well,
it doesn't say Becky. Well, although she is from Kentucky.
No.
And normally you'd see a car like this parked next to a mobile home.
But no.
You probably would. I just say.
Bullet. Classic.
Okay.
No, you would see
slow
this
down, Ace.
Running down the streets of San Francisco.
The Bullet Mustang is not... Okay, the person that... I remember a long time ago, I had a Corvette, which... Forgetting the fact that was a train wreck. But anyway, my brother-in-law...
We're not going to forget that.
Yeah. My brother-in-law and I were driving along, and a new Corvette owner waved at me, and I waved back, and he said... He goes, it's nice to see people in different social economic classes acknowledge each other, because I had the shitty Corvette and he had that. So if somebody in a Bullet, like a 1969 Mustang Fastback, waved at my ass and mine, then that's on them, because they really shouldn't acknowledge my presence. Although I think it's a very clean, nice example. Lower miles, you still shouldn't acknowledge me.
Although
it's not like it's a pre-2004 Mustangs. Those are just garbage, but still, whatever.
One, no one should ever acknowledge your presence. Two, you're trying to deflect by, you know, bringing up in advance to deflect from me raising your past history on buying vintage cars.
This isn't as vintage as that vintage. That was very...
True that.
That was archaic. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I dug that up. It was like a site dig, and I found it under the ground. Then I pulled it out, and I said, this is a good thing to buy. It's creaking and shit. No, it wasn't. This is a lot. This is far more modern. This has, you know, like coil unplug ignition and shit like that. Things that in the modern day work, not, you know, that.
Well,
early 90s technology was not good technology.
Doors that when you close the handles don't come off?
That didn't happen.
Well, kind of. That didn't door frame happen. Was kind of loose.
First of all, you never rode in it.
Yes, I did.
Well, it never did anything like that.
I rode in it.
How? it only ran for like 3 months.
It was like the second day you had it. We went to Thurman's.
What?
We went to Thurman's.
I find that very... No, that was in my 350Z. That was way before.
I've never rode in your 350Z.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We were at Columbus Brewing Company. Yes. But on tonight's show, forgetting all the automotive talk, that's not the type of show we do. We do dick jokes and drinking. And normally in that order. Yeah. Scott's dick is small. Anyway, he drives a minivan. But anyway.
Actually, you're the minivan owner.
My wife drives it.
Oh, you don't drive it.
You drive an MDX, a vintage MDX.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Stretching the term beautiful. But
It's got a couple dings in it.
It's like saying Bo's ass is beautiful. First of all, that's disturbing. And second of all, disturbing. It's not, because normally there's shit matted up in it. But I've had to clean that more than once.
How did we get here?
The Saval Vintage Port.
Where do we go from here?
For those that know Portuguese port.
As opposed to German port or...
Port from Australia, port from California, port from... Ports made a lot of different places, and you know this. Not really. You're a presenter on a wine podcast.
It's Portuguese. Yes. It's where we make port.
No, it's not true. But anyway... It's where you make good port.
There you go.
The rest of it is kind of a roll of the dice. It can be good. It can be not.
See, this is what I'm trying to build you back up to. I know you had your ass cheeks chewed on this weekend, but I'm trying to get back to the old snarky, bitter, annoying Rob who would never claim anything else to be port other than Portuguese port.
But this doesn't work that way. Champagne, I'll say that, but not port. I mean, it's not. But nevertheless... Quinta do Noval is a famous port house. It might not be quite as famous as Smith Woodhouse or Nieuport or one of the, but it is one of the OG legendary ones. This Saval, for those that know, is their second label, although it's far more scarce than their vintage port. It has vintages declared, and this is around, I don't know what a current vintage would cost, but this was about $40 20 years ago when it was purchased for me. It was a gift, actually. And so it is our second, and it's designed to be drank at a younger point than the vintage port. But this is a more scarce thing than the vintage port. I've seen it occasionally, but in fine wine shops and kind of rando different vintages of it. This is the 2000 vintage. There have been, let me just tell you real quick. In the 2000s, there's a 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2007, and a 2015. So, randomly.
There's a gap.
It's probably gone right now. There isn't any. I don't know if there's going to be another one declared anytime soon, or if they're even still doing it. I believe they are, though. And it's normally referred to as Saval, so we're going to call it Saval. It looks very old school, and they don't even use the traditional port cork that you would know, where you have like the little plastic cap and you twist it off. No, this is a proper wine cork in here. Mm-hmm. So, because they're expecting it to be aged longer than a standard late bottle vintage or a ruby port. With that, you need a proper cork. Otherwise, you're going to have to, what you do when you get a really old bottle, a vintage bottle, they make, I don't know what they're called specifically, but they're these metal tongs, yep. Right? And you will basically knock the top off of the bottle because the cork won't pull out anymore. So the old stuff we have, who the fuck knows how we're going to get it out? But that's not the point. Probably a power drill. So what we're going to do is we're, of course, going to take a break. But then we're going to come back. We're going to give some reviews. We're going to drink. We're going to be jolly. Bo's going to make random noises. And Wilford probably will be on the show. Here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review.
give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the 2000 Saval Vintage Port by Quinta do Noval. Now, it does have some reviews.
That's right. Yes, this is Wilford. Welcome to the show. He told me I would be on, and I am. Scott, how are you this evening?
I'm ready to use some port tongs, heat them up, and take the top off your bottle and crack you open, buddy.
Are you suggesting you're going to put that around my dick?
No, around your neck.
My neck? That's, you mean like choke me out? Well, that's interesting. I've never had that done.
Yeah, I'll bet you haven't.
I mean, well, somebody could come up behind me and try to do that, but nobody ever did it erotically like you're suggesting.
No, this is to put an arm on your person.
No, it sounds like it's erotic. I like that.
I'll bet you do.
Are you going to pull my hair, too? It'd be great. I don't have much, but pull my hair and slap me, maybe spit in my face. I love that. I love to be degraded is what's the truth. You know, when I went to this one club, I met this guy named Armando. And he had this girlfriend named Jessie. It's weird. But I think Jessie was a man. I don't know. Anyway, they degraded me. They put me in a dog pen. Did you know that, Scott?
You shouldn't be in a dog pen. Wilfred.
Wasn't theirs. They also took my money and my clothes. And they put me in somebody's dog pen.
Is that the time they tried to take your kidney out, except somebody had already taken that out in a hotel room?
No. These people just robbed me and left me naked in somebody's dog pen. So the next morning, they came out and they said, "Dummy, just lift up the latch and walk out. Why are you naked? And what are you doing to our dog?" It's not important. I don't want to talk about the dog.
You just did.
I got its number, though. Anyway. The Spectator gave it 94 of their... I hope Bo didn't hear that. I don't want him to be creeped out. Gave it 94 of their points. And they wrote, "Super dark and powerful. Shows raisin, spice, coffee, and violet aromas. Full-bodied, very chewy, with lots of grip and loads of fruit. Very long in the mouth." Did you know? I know Armando was long in the mouth, too, but that's not the point. Anyway, outstanding young port. Super value here. Best after 2012. And you thought I was leaving, but I'm not. Wines and Spirits gave it 93, but they lost their magazine. And the Wine Enthusiast, they gave it 90 of their points.
It's not very many points.
Well, they don't have many points to give, Scott.
They're usually very enthusiastic.
They gave it all to Earthquake Petit Sirah. So,
Jesus.
Anyway, a reasonably good buy in vintage port, even though everybody else thinks it's a classic. Saval is something of a second label for Quinta do Noval. What do they do? It's less concentrated and suppler in the mouth than its sister wine, but it still boasts compelling floral aromas allied to prune, blackberry, and chocolate flavors. Worth trying a bottle before 2010. And Joe Kozwinski wrote that review, but he no longer works for them. You know who he works for?
I don't.
Well, I don't either. I'm just asking you. I assume that long ago, he's probably dead because his review is 19 years old. So, there you go. Those are the reviews. Scott, what do you have to offer?
Well, depends what you're talking about. Port tongs.
Oh.
Wine guy referred to them earlier. They're uncommon in most places in the United States other than very well-equipped. Wilfred, very well-equipped. Nothing? Nothing? Where are you, Wilfred, when I need you?
Spanish men?
Very well-equipped, high-end establishments.
Not Spanish men.
No.
No.
But the idea is you heat the tongs.
Yes.
And you apply them to the top of the bottle.
Okay.
Hold it for 20 to 30 seconds, and you remove it, and then you cool it with a cool cloth, a wet cloth. Thermal expansion, the neck of the bottle snaps off.
It does it?
Typically, quite evenly.
Yes.
Hence, port tongs that the wine guy was referring to earlier.
I'm sorry, I got that question wrong. I normally answer all questions Spanish men. I don't know why. They said, "Wilford, what would you like to have for breakfast?" And I said, You know how I answered it. It's awkward.
Quinto de Naval is arguably the greatest of the oldest porterhouses. Why would you say that, Rob the Wine Guy, even though you didn't?
Because you're reading it off something?
Off the wine.com.
It was not your original thought.
It's not my... Well, it is.
You never heard of it until now, did you?
Yeah, oh yeah, we've talked about Quinto de Naval. Okay. You've even talked about on the show of having this particular bottle.
I have had this bottle for 20 years, yes.
What makes this port house unique compared to other top port houses? It's because they're making from estate-grown fruit. They own the vineyards. They own the grapes that they make this.
And that's not all that usual, folks.
You talk about port houses, and they are not wineries in the traditional sense. They're sourcing their grapes.
Yep.
Quinto de Naval, that's not how they roll. They've been a pioneer in many areas. They're the first to introduce the stenciled bottles in the 1920s. Mm. They pioneered the concept of old tawnies with an indication of age. And they were the first to introduce late bottled vintage, which is a nice way to get a port that's a little more ageable than your average bottle of port.
That's very good.
Part of their estate. Land registries, first of all, go back to the 1700s for Naval. They have a single elevation of the vineyards that's from river level to 1,200 feet, and it's almost infertile to other grapes. These port vines go back to probably the dawn of time when it comes to winemaking, but it's more closer to sheer rock than there is soil where these are grown. And they just don't make many grapes per hectare of land.
Ooh.
So this is a special, special estate-grown port. I'm excited to try it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So in the glass, it is a little bit slightly cloudy. It doesn't have which is to expect. Oh.
No. Douchebag spilled.
And dipshit spilled it all over his hand. I would
actually just a couple drops.
I would take a break, but I'm not going to because
don't.
You know.
I don't deserve a break.
No, you don't. And he only spills the finest of vintages that we have here on the Wine Vault. I mean, he doesn't spill, you know, sledgehammer wines. Is that still a thing, by the way? The factory shut down that had sledgehammer in it? I don't know. But in the glass, it is slightly cloudy, except for the stuff Scott spilled. 20% alcohol, which is always lovely. On the nose, though.
Actually, there's only three drops.
There are notes of mint, black licorice.
Back to cloudy. I wanted to see what you meant by cloudy in the glass.
Well, you don't. It has a slight dull sheen to it, is what my point is.
Hmm. Okay.
Which, given age, that wouldn't be surprising.
And we've had mint on the nose of ports before.
We have.
I think the gentleman's port had a little mint to it, if I don't recall.
I always drink that too fast to smell it. I would put that in a syringe. It's like, sir, can I put that in an IV? Thank you. Cassis notes as well, and a bit of muddled blackberry. There's also a floral element to it that goes across. Violets, I do believe.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, notes of violets is lovely.
This is a different nose for me for port. And am I right in assuming that aged ports, vintage ports, they're going to have a softer nose because they are aged?
Yes. And this one, they don't expect to be aged as I have here. They think this is more of a 15-year drinker.
Okay.
So we are going daring, partly because I get
close to 20?
Yeah. We're at 22 years, but...
But how long?
How long have I had it?
Yeah.
Owned it? I was gifted it in 2003.
And that's probably when it's on the market, maybe a year before that?
Yeah, and it was one of those that we had to get it, that I got it from one of my coworkers at Anderson's, actually. And he had to call in a couple favors to actually get a bottle because it wasn't available in Columbus.
Cassis.
Mm-hmm. But no, though, the violet notes are very, very nice. It's a really nice.
There's notes. Something else in there.
Maybe a slight meatiness. It's a really nice nose. It almost tastes like an extremely, extremely good Bordeaux. Extremely good Bordeaux.
Mm. There's something else, either earthy or minerally.
Well, there's a slight bit of vulcanized rubber. Just a slight touch. Tar, actually.
Tar.
Which wouldn't
tar.
Be
tar. I like it for tar.
It's not surprising at all.
I'm going in.
Me too. And Scott, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to take the rest of the decanter and go hide in the wine vault.
Just joy.
Good God.
Joy.
Holy Lord. Drink young. I mean, it's... Jesus. That's just... There are drinks, and then there are drinks. It's like in the... I sent you a GIF today. It was from Inglourious Bastards, where Michael... was it Fassbender?
That sounds right.
Or I don't think it's... Well, anyway. He's in the bar and he's drinking the scotch and he's about ready to get shot. And he goes, I must say, damn fine stuff, sir. Yeah. That's this. That's damn fine. Holy hell. By the way, the finish is never ending. And it's going and going. And sometimes you'll have a residual flavor. This is the wine. You taste the wine. I still taste the wine going out. Exquisitely beautiful. Still very sweet. Notes of prune. Plum. Candy plum, actually. You know,
there's that ode to the minerality or that ode to the earthiness, and it's like soft rubber.
Well, also candied almonds.
The almonds. And I, for me, this is not as sweet as it, as port exhibits so much sweetness. It's off-putting to many people.
Yeah.
For that reason, they don't care for port. And it is a higher sugar wine. There is more sweetness to port.
Oh, sure.
This, that characteristic's here. It's sweet. I'm not saying it's not sweet. But when compared to other ports, that's not even the primary thing I draw from this. What surprises me in this is the naked savory elements of this port that I just love about it. The there's that sense of red meat almost, and that I call it like a soft rubber. You get
that doesn't sound appealing.
I get it, but in old school bicycle tires with inner tubes, there was a rough dust about them. And if you
what the tall boy that you should ride on,
if you got that in,
when you were 50,
if you got that dust with a in monocle. Your mouth, there was a taste you got, and it was hard. You opened up an inner tube from a box that it came in, and it just the dust was everywhere.
You know, Scott, this
actual, reminds me of that.
This is actually, folks, an unknown fact about Scott. The Planner's Peanut character was based on Scott.
The monocle.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Old timey. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I love this. Oh. I'm not trying to discount the sweetness or the port nature of this. I love the savory and the elements that are exposed because of the aging of this. Mm-hmm. It's freaking fantastic.
It drinks. It has the same kind of... It has woody notes. It has some real forest notes, too. It has notes of Black Forest cake too, that dark chocolate, things of that. Those elements are pushing through in the mid palate, but it just has nice underbrush tones, and it has so many nice elements. You could pick out 50 things here, and yes, it is sweet, but that's not the focus of the wine. The complexity, the richness. Actually, the richness isn't necessarily even the focus of it. It is the complexity that's there. That really is. The mouthfeel is top notch, and it's soft. Often you'll get younger ports that are hard edged and are really going. They're very muscular wines. This wine has muscles, but it's flexing them in a far more sophisticated way.
It softens from the mid palate through the finish.
Yeah.
And that's where it's a game changer for me. It's just softer and it's different. It's not as viscous.
No.
It's not as viscous from the mid palate through the finish. And the finish is more like a good non-port wine finish than it is like a typical port finish.
Yeah.
That glycerin coating of the tongue, it's gone. Mm-hmm. It's gone. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We love that way port puts that coating on your tongue and gives you that feel and that glycerin coating on your tongue. Mm-hmm. It's present in the front palate, but then as you get to the mid palate, it's gone. And I think that's what helps expose the foresty, the woodsy things you talked about. My dry vulcanized rubber, per se. The headed towards mocha. You liked it for Black Forest cake. Mm.
Underbrush.
Yeah, the greeny.
Evergreen.
Kind yeah.
of notes, yeah.
Not pine, but just headed that way. Not vegetation, but pine, but foresty.
Alpine kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This would be nice in the Swiss Alps. At a skiing resort in front of a fire, because I can't ski very well. Yes, I would like to go to the Swiss Alps, not ski, but watch people ski and fall down. Sit by a fire, look out upon the expanse of the glorious Alps, and drink this port.
You just, that's your modus operandi pretty much wherever you go. Just mm-hmm. not do anything and just sit around and drink.
Yes, that's right.
Chase after your children a little bit, although most of that's, you know, put on somebody else. But
oh, please. She's been sick today. The Triple B obviously is not on because we're drinking port, and she also has a doctor's appointment in the morning, and her stomach has been off today. So.
Wonder what would have caused that stress in her life.
I know. I said maybe I gave you an ulcer. It's true.
And you laugh.
I know. I do.
Was that a nervous laugh?
No.
Not really.
Not really. If she was going to kill me, she would have killed me by now.
Although, I don't know.
It's not here yet, though, so when she hears the aftermarket exhaust on it, she might.
See.
I mean, you can't, like, taking that to a garden party is not quite the same.
Went to a garden party.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You
got to play Toby Keith in that fucker.
That your life is not out of the woods yet. That, you know, she may be just in the planning stages. We've talked about this before, you know, when Patrick Swayze's kin came up from Kentucky to go to Chicago and
I
help
never
him
watched that. Next of Kin.
Yeah, you need to. You need to worry about that greatly.
I can just watch Roadhouse over and over again. Why would I watch some other one?
That's not the same thing as what may be going on now behind the scenes.
There are a lot of enjoyable Patrick Swayze movies. I didn't say good. I said enjoyable.
Well.
Yeah. See, there's a caveat. I mean, classically good? No. But Point Break is enjoyable. Roadhouse, I think we all know that it is a classic in a certain sense of, I don't know how that ever became a classic, but there are just things out there that are just stupid, simple, and fun.
Because of the music, maybe?
The Jeffy Lee Band is good.
Certainly not because of the acting.
Not acting. He's just kicking ass. And even then, it's a little sketchy at parts. But, the music does help. But the Jeffy Lee, actually, On the end credits, folks, there's a song called, well, it's an old Bob Dylan song. It's, what's it called? When the Night Comes Calling.
Yes.
And if you've ever heard the Bob Dylan version of it, folks, it's the worst thing I have ever heard done with instruments and people standing there. I mean, a lot of Bob Dylan stuff that was like 80s, and this was the 80s Bob Dylan, was epic trash. But the song is a great song. If you listen to the lyrics and everything, it really is great. But then he did it like in a new age, like pop-ish thing. And it's terrible. I mean, you're like, wow, that's terrible. Like Vincenzo's bad. Mm. Maybe worse.
Yeah.
So Jeff Healey did it right. So folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, well, Scott found...
I figured we were listening to, actually, When the Night Comes Falling.
Okay, falling.
Eh, you know.
Yeah. And Scott was listening to the 80s version that Bob Dylan did. And he was a little... You were probably taken aback a little bit about how bad it is.
It's not that it's that bad. It's what they did in the video. When Dylan was cashing in, he was bankrolling money for maybe not his best efforts.
Best efforts.
The song's fine.
It sounds terrible.
Is okay, but the MTV 80s feel production. It's like just bad drama. You know, an early Beastie Boys video had better production.
The Wine Vault has better production.
Well, let's not get caught up in ourselves.
If Bo videotaped it, it would. Well, he'd run around with the Bo collar on. You'd see him. Even with Becky emptying off the bathtub upstairs, it's still better than that.
Well,
I would rather listen to a bathtub being emptied.
It's white noise.
White noise.
It's background noise.
Well, yeah. We do have the Spotify. We've gotten away from the Belle Biv DeVoe channel on Pandora, and we're on Spotify now on the Wine Vault list. And it's predominantly a lot of the classic artists that you've come to know and love. Scott's favorite artist, being R. Kelly, has multiple songs on the Wine Vault list. I don't know why that is, because he is a bad man, but he has some really, I mean, you're just like, hey, man, your body's calling. You gotta go with that Honey Love. Oh, Bump and Grind. We know
Rob likes
Ain't Nothing Wrong with a Little Bump and Grind. See what else is there. Oh, Keep It on the Down Low.
Keep It on the Down Low.
Nobody has to know. I saw one that was...
Except particularly your wife, until you bring the car home.
Yeah, no, I you can't keep that on the down low.
Well, you could have, but no. You know. Yeah, I'm not going to look at a car on Friday night when you have all the kids after a hard work week. I'm going to... consider spending all our money in a Taco Bell franchise?
R. Kelly has a song called I Like the Crouch on You, but it looks like crotch. But well, I think it is.
I wonder.
He sings it, I Like the Crouch on You, but it's crotch. So it says, I Like the Crotch on You. which I've never heard that song before, but it is a real R. Kelly song. I like the crouch. Why? How did he end up in prison? I don't know.
Why do you know about this song?
I think that you're ready. Yeah, it's like, what? I don't think you're ready.
Well.
Your body is my playground. What? with the playground thing. Now, just you're like, add those two together. It's just a bad scene, you know. Where's he going to come up with, you know?
You know, Scott, when I was in that dog pen, I'm not going to talk about the dog. It was a German Shepherd, though.
Was it?
I guess I just talked about it.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't know, though, that you just flip up the latch. They didn't even have, like, the new ones where you had to push something. It's just a latch.
You're used to being locked in permanently where you can't get out. It's called jail?
Prison. Scott,
prison. Jail's halfway house.
Jail's temporary. I'm actually talking from the prison. That's right. In the showers.
Folsom County?
No. That's too tough for me. No. I'm in minimum security. Matter of fact, they try to get me to leave all the time. Like, Welford, your door's open. Welford. Oh, no. Don't run away, Welford. Welford. I left my keys in my car out in the parking lot, Welford, and the gate's open to the front of the prison, Welford. Don't do that. But if you do, I didn't see nothing. I don't get the hint, partly because I don't get... I just like that.
Did you get married in prison?
No, I got raped in prison.
Like the prison guard that escaped and...
What, the woman? That...
Yeah.
That's not a funny joke. When I just said rape, that was bad, too. Rob the wine guy's got to cut all that shit out. He's pissed off about it because he said it. And he's like, damn it, I got to go in the damn show and cut that stuff out. It's ridiculous. Anyway, yes,
you
quit
are
being
ridiculous.
A pervert.
I'm a pervert.
You're a pervert, Scott.
Well.
You know, you wanted to asphyxiate me with the tongs. You just said that earlier. Wrapping around my neck.
Trying to get rid of an impedance to the show's delivery.
What are you going to deliver?
Pizza.
Got a meat delivery?
Art. Meat delivery. Jesus.
Bring in the salami.
Sausage.
That's right. Spicy sausage.
Yes. Well, on tonight's potpourri, I had nothing. I drew a blank. You already drawn a blank, Scott.
Have you ever?
No. What are you?
I'm pretty sure when I walked in the house and Becky was oiling the gun, she was saying...
Becky can't shoot a gun.
Live.
She held a gun one time and almost dropped it.
That's part of her plan, is to get more skillful with that said weapon.
No. I gave her a gun one time at a shooting range, and she was holding it, then went to drop it, even though it was loaded and ready to go. And I said, you're done. Go outside. She did not pass the test. No, Scott, the question I would have, and this is, what is your favorite style of port? And I'm going to open it up across, whether it be, and we have to take price into consideration, too. You can even name a port. But, because you think about in the actual Ruby ports, you have Ruby and Tawny. But let's just talk about Ruby first. You have a vintage character, but that's more, you have a Ruby port than a vintage character. It's all about lines, too, by the way. Let's talk about Dalles, for instance. How many fucking things do they have? They like have Kingsman port. They have a late bottle vintage port. They have the Tradesman or whatever the hell port.
Now you've had more of those Dalles than I have.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that shit is.
Dalles once. Mm.
I have
maybe out a couple times.
Well, the LBV, you've had the LBV. LBV. Too. The LBV is good. The rest of their stuff is weird because you can never fit up. What the fuck is the King's port? How's that different than, you know, the Tradesman port, whatever the hell it is. I mean, they're all under 20. Warays, they have the Warrior, but I just recently got the Finest Ruby. And they also have, like, the Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all these little different blends, which is so weird. I don't know why. And they're all about the same price.
Right.
Because the Ruby I just got was, like, 16. I don't know what any of that's about. But considering all those things exist, I think, really, some good value can be had in late bottle vintage, but also vintage character ports,
mm-hmm.
like Graham's Six Grapes.
Right.
But that's as expensive, though, as a late bottle vintage anymore.
It really is. You can find some values in late bottled vintage. And if you're small scale cellaring, it's an economical way to go with port, the late bottle vintage. Is it proper? No, but it makes you feel like you're playing with port.
LBV is proper, but from a cellaring standpoint, It's a 5 year.
Yes, that's thing. It. Yeah. That's it.
Port is weird in that regard.
But you're not going to do a bottle of Coburn's for 5 years. I mean, what? I suppose you could. Just a Ruby? Regular Coburn's. Yeah. You're not going to put that down for 5 years. I mean, you can, but why?
You shouldn't.
Right, you shouldn't. No. Where with an OBV, it's kind of sort of a little what it's intended for, right? Yeah. To put it down for a red hot second.
No, that's not true, because some are. Some aren't.
Some Dow, are considered some.
Dow's short term.
Correct.
Dow's currently, their LBVs, 5 to 10 years currently. But you get into like, I think Newport. Well, you shouldn't buy Newport, though. Newport's bad.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, Newport, their rubies are overtly dry. Everything about Newport is very, very dry. I've never had their vintage port, but I've had everything else that they make, you know, short of, you know, a 30-year or a 40-year Tawny. And it's just all overtly dry. Right. Like, we're going for the dry port. No one else makes that. Yeah, they don't, do they? We had a bottle of, was it Newport Tawny or was it Newport Ruby? I think it was the Ruby, actually. And we had it at Scott's, and we didn't drink it.
Yeah.
Because nobody liked it. Scott and I didn't like it. Scott and I did not like a bottle of port.
And we were both kind of looking forward to that bottle. It was...
Sure. I mean, I knew they were dry, but I thought that they would be a little more balanced, and it just wasn't balanced. It's like almost an Oloroso sherry, but the problem is, it's Ruby Port. It's a flavor profile that just doesn't match.
But back to your original query.
Sure.
I love that port in just your base ports.
Yeah.
Not getting into higher quality stuff that we're going to put down in cellar. I love that port that has that caramel going on, but with those distinctly discernible spices. You could pull out a nutmeg. You could pull out cinnamon. The different things you could pull out of it. That's just one of my favorite things to do in a $20 bottle. You know, or even less sometimes. Coburn sometimes
you're talking
is
about-
surprisingly...
You're
has
talking
a lot
about
of
the Tawny, though.
Yeah, but it has so many different elements of spice in it, on top of the caramel, on top of the creamy mouthfeel, on yada, 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 yada. Yeah, that's my favorite thing to have.
Well, strangely,
in a baseline.
Strange enough, more about
Tawny.
Often, it's you would say that Tawny is more risky, but it's not. In the lower price ranges, most generally. I mean... You have, especially from Australia, if you're going down to Australia, because the Aussies make some good ports, just not Ruby. I don't know if I've ever seen a Ruby from Aussie. Cali, California, they make Rubies, but I don't believe Australia does. Australia's Tawnies are good. And we've had, I've had Chateau Vignella, we've had Whiskers Blake, which was good. What did we just have recently? R.H. Bueller.
Right.
That's another good one. Yeah, the R.H. Bueller was really good. But in Cali, you think over there, Tierra de Oro used to be good. It's not currently. I wouldn't recommend that.
Mm.
It's not.
Well, you had one bad run of it.
But Heights, when they make their ink grade, it's really, really good. Pedroncelli makes a 3 grapes, but you can get that. Actually, that's a good value. It's a little bit grapey. It's a little simple, but... The 3 grapes from Pedroncelli, you can order it from their website and have it shipped to your house. And I think it'll cost you, with shipping, $26-$27. Really good value. We have Rodney Strong, a true gentleman's port, but they stopped making that. We have the last vintage of that, which is 13. What are you doing, Scott? Don't pour that out of there. Scott tried to get the empty bottle and pour it out. That's how drunk he is. You want some sediment? It's in the decanter. These wines have a lot of sediment, chunky sediment. Scott just tried to pour an empty bottle. Somebody
being very observant tonight.
Somebody's drunk.
No, not really at all. I haven't had the 3 ounce pour of port that I lost a half ounce of. Was all I've had.
Well, that's your problem. You're penalized for that. But so when Scott earlier was alluding that I was snobby about port, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. It's just recently. If you're talking about rubies, Callie has fallen off. I haven't had really... well, the True Gentleman's and all that stuff is a little bit in the past. And I like the Three Grapes most generally. Although with the Petroncelli, there's a little bit of bottle variation I've found. But your mainstream ones like the Tierra d'Oro...
We were disappointed with that bottle, period, in a discussion.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're a producer that has a history of making good port. We'll give them a chance again in the future. I will, at least. Maybe you're going to be too snobbish to do that.
What's a non-vintage, though, so...
There you go. But still, it's...
Oh, Bogle. We did Bogle's Petite Syrah port.
Yeah.
There's the bottle over there.
Yeah.
I don't remember if we liked that or not.
Yeah.
I think it was, you could drink it. That's about all you could say.
Yeah. What I recall, it wasn't the most complex. It didn't have as much going on.
No, it wasn't.
But, so, let's just go back through the memory banks and just go to the entry-priced ports that we give thumbs up, thumbs down.
All right, good. Penfold's Club Tawny.
Yes.
Thumbs up. Presidential Ruby and Tawny. Thumbs up.
Both.
Coburn's. The Tawny for Presidential, 10 thumbs up. Coburn's, thumbs up. The Tawny, anyway. Warray's Warrior.
Two thumbs up.
Yep.
One of my favorite consistent go-tos. I don't buy port that often, but when I'm in the grocery and I see Warray's Warrior, I just mentally give it a 2 thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Whiskers Blake. Thumbs up. R.H. Bueller, thumbs up.
Are those really...
They're Aussie.
Baseline entry things, though? They're a little more...
Yeah. If you ever see... Well, let's see here. Graham Six Grapes, thumbs up.
Again, that might even be higher level because Graham's has a lower level than that Six Grapes. It's really not there to compare that to Coburn's for comparison points.
It's not, but it's not
in the list. It's in the list.
Yeah, it's a vintage character. Dow's Trademark, King's, Men of River Hell it is, and everything else that they make that isn't their lay bottle vintage, thumbs down.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They're, yeah, whether it be Tawny or Ruby, not great.
Fonseca,
thumbs up.
We had Fonseca out once.
We've had Fonseca a bajillion times.
But I'm
saying
we're out. At Frank's, maybe?
Yeah, well, we've had the Fonseca. You have the vintage character, which is good. We've had the 10 and the 20 as well. And the 10 is fine. The 20 is pretty good. Graham's, their 30 year is very good. I've had that recently. There's also, let's see, what is that? Ferrera.
Sandeman's
good. It's been a hot minute since I've had their Founders. We do have their white port in the queue. Yeah. It's been too long since I've had regular Sandeman's to comment. We need to have it again. I'm sure it's good. The nice thing about the Fonseca, the base one, it's like $17.99. Osborne, thumbs way up.
I've not had that.
Thumbs way the hell up. Their LBV used to be sub 20, like $17.99. I don't know if it is now, but yeah, Osborne, really a thumbs up.
Taylor Fladgate.
I mean, yeah, I like their LBV, and their LBV is $21. I'll give them a thumbs up for that. And their one below is fine. I don't know if I would rather have Warray's, though, for that. But I like their late bottle vintage at $21, $22. So thumbs up there.
Is there anything we're giving thumbs down? Pretty much everything's getting on.
Fairbanks, thumbs down.
Okay. We haven't done that on the show
Morgado,
yet.
Morgado, thumbs down.
We haven't done that on the show yet.
We have, actually.
Morgado?
Morgado, yeah, from Trader Joe's.
That was Morgado we did.
Yeah. Yes. That was awful. Oops. Hold on a second here. Oh, Honey Love is on now. Yeah, Ferrera. What's another one here? Oh, Dow's Fine Tawny Port. Thumbs down. That's one of them. You got to be careful with some of those that just don't really line up with anything. I don't know if Graham's Fine Tawny It's around $20. It's a little bit much for that. And what I'll say is, if you see a vintage character and it's around $20, solid. But these things that say Fine Tawny, for instance, that shouldn't be $20. That should be $17, $16. You know, so look out for that. Oh, another one is Copay. Is that it? Copay?
I don't know Copay.
Yeah. Copay is very good. You've bought Copay before. But yeah, right here, the Sandemans Founders Reserve Ruby Port is $23. It's too much. It's too much for a vintage character, which is what that is. Coburn's Special Reserve. I've not had that one. That's a vintage character.
I was looking at that.
Yeah. It's about cock. A fine ruby for Cockburns is decent, though. But you know what isn't decent? Hmm. A burning cock. Chocolate Shop sucks dick. This is what I bought. The Warriors Heritage Ruby. $18.99. Warrior is $20. I would get the Warrior, to be perfectly frank.
What about the Odoman 10-year?
The what? Oh, yeah, the Odoman. Ah. It's a little bit drier, but it is a fine one. The only problem I have with Odoman is, Ottoman, actually, but is what it is.
Odima. O-T-I-M-A. Warriors Odima 10-year Tawny Port.
500 milliliter.
Yep.
Yolumba. We have the Yolumba Antique Tawny. That's really good. It's $24 for the half bottle, though. That's very good.
Truth is, half bottle of port, get you where you want to go.
Yeah. In Flavortown. A Dowell's Fine Ruby. Thumbs down. Ramos Pinto is one that I haven't had in a long time, but when I had it, it was pretty decent, actually. Then there's... I'm looking for one specific... Yeah, Warray's Warrior is $22 currently right now, so we're always going to say thumbs up to that.
So you know what I would love to pair this port with?
Mm.
A fine chocolate that had a little bit of toffee in it. Just a little crisps of toffee in it.
Yeah.
That'd be delicious.
What about that dessert that we had at the Old Forester tasting? Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was that chocolate that they made just for Old Forester?
Yes.
You know, in retrospect, we should have bought a shitload of that.
I did.
Did you now?
Oh, yeah. Ate it all. The family did. In like 2 seconds.
Yeah, recap, we went to an Old Forester tasting and they had these chocolates that were made just for them, and they were actually quite brilliant for bourbon. And I think we were sitting there and said, this would be great with port too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we said that.
We were actually coherent and relatively sober at that point because we'd had a late breakfast.
We drank a lot.
No, you douchebags drank. I don't even think I had a Bloody Mary.
Well, I didn't drink at breakfast.
Yeah, you did, actually.
Did I?
You and Steve both did.
Oh, yeah, maybe we did. We needed... No, I didn't. I did not. I drank... No, I did. I did.
You did. You had a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I did. The Bloody Mary was tasty.
Yeah, we were relatively sober for the Old Forester tasting. Not afterwards.
Okay, let's start...
Where's that bottle of 1910 at, by the way?
You remember who promised it?
Yeah.
Dummy.
The Arnold Forester rep.
And the superstar. They're rolling around in the trunk of his fucking car, probably.
Well, at least it's bourbon. It won't go bad.
We'll get it in like 1912.
Well, it'll be aged.
I don't know.
We'll get it in 1912?
That's right.
I don't even know what that means.
It means nothing because I misstated what I wanted to say.
You're sounding like me. We're becoming like an old couple. You talk more like me. You're just as disjointed as I am.
Are you coming on to rob the wine guy? Because that's not cool.
No, I'm saying we're like an old married couple.
You're betrothed to me.
No.
You were going to choke me out in an erotic sense.
Actually, I'm not. You're betrothed to a German shepherd in Wichita, Kansas.
It wasn't Wichita. It was Peoria, Illinois.
Well, Naperville, Chicago.
That damn German shepherd never called me back. It tugs on my heartstrings sometimes when I think about it.
Those padded feet and the modern cell phones don't go well together.
Don't talk about, no. We've got a paw fetish. let's go to the commercial break paw. Before I break many, many laws.
Does it make you think of Scout in an old movie?
I don't want to talk about what it makes me feel like. I'm not ready to open up. Bastard.
Thank God.
I know. here on the Wine Vault. So, the 2000 Saval Vintage Port from Quinta do Noval in Portugal, of course. We're going to go over to Scott, who's going to give us a numerical score.
Tell Motel Holiday Inn.
Like
between a 92 and a 93. I'm going to go with a 93. Here's why. I love the way this port expresses that forest, that vulcanized type dry rubber dust that you wouldn't get normally as just as prevalent. It's just naked and raw. It's port through and through, but there's this softening of the port that allows the wine itself to shine through. And what a nice wine it is. It's this expression of estate.
I noticed what you
grown
just,
grapes.
You just said wine. You didn't say port.
I didn't.
Because it transcends that.
It's the one. This has been cellared for a significant amount of time.
19 years.
Which allowed that to happen. And what that is the mid palate and finish are exposed to just what the wine is.
Mm-hmm.
And that port character, the sweetness that Rob talked about that it still has, it's really just in the front palate. It's really just as you set this on your tongue, pull air on it, right away you know it's port.
Yep.
But then as you let it go and you taste the wine, that mid palate is a long mid palate.
Yep.
You know, so many wines we do, it's front palate, then it's just a flash through the mid palate, not this wine. And it is a lengthy finish.
Mm.
Have we had longer port finishes? Sure. But what this is a lengthy finish of, it's not a lengthy port finish. It's a lengthy wine finish.
Yes.
That's the star of the show for me. The way this port exhibits itself as a wine because of the quality and because of the aging of it.
And now it's on to me. Strangely enough, I had already thought of the same exact score Scott said, 93. This wine has that stamped all over it, which is a lovely, lovely score. Scott has already said pretty much everything that you can say. This wine it's wine. It's not port. Normally we refer to something as, this is a great port. This is a great wine.
Yeah.
And it has its focus on its complexity, its elements, how interesting it is. It's not of muscularity. It's not of punch, sweetness, residual sugar. It does have those things, but it's so much more refined than that. I'm sitting here thinking about the flavor profile of a late bottle vintage and comparing it to this. And let's not forget, this was about $40-some.
I think wine.com shows that it was $45.
Mm-hmm, in that range. So this wasn't something that was a $180 bottle of port. $150. It wasn't one of those things. It wasn't $100. It wasn't any of that. It It's even like, I think if you said like a single quinta, single vineyard, that's what that means. Normally second, that's a second label normally of the producers. Compared to that, you don't expect something like that to have this kind of timelessness to it. And it just does. I think this could go on another 5 years, 6 years. I wouldn't go any past that. But I think we're drinking it right where it should be. I'm glad we did. It just transcends port. And when you can do that, you're really exceptional. You really are.
I wonder port what this good wine mm-hmm. would taste like not fortified. If you oaked us, set us back, and with us now,
yeah,
would be.
Oh, it'd be nice.
It really would be.
Great, great wines. Great, great grapes. Great everything about this wine. Exquisite. Well done. Bravo, Quinta do Novão. Bravo, Portugal.
And bravo, wine cellar. Bravo, Steve, for this gift to you.
Steve Fishkin, not Steve.
Was this graduation from a law school gift?
It was. I got two bottles of port that day. A 2000 Dalles and this. The 2000 Dalles is still back there. To wait till probably 2030. This one, though, came out to be drank. Scott said I would like port tonight, and I went, yes, sir. And so I produced not just any port. I produced this port. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We did. And we're going to enjoy even more of it because we have a half a decanter to drink.
Well, and, you know, if this is our last or next to last episode, you'll know it's because Rob got his Mustang and
Becky
didn't like it. So there's actually that might be one of the reasons Rob corked this tonight, because he thought,
why not?
It might be the last night of my life, so
I know.
Let's have a nice bottle.
Hey, when I called you, I'll tell you, man, I feel a lot better today. I mean, I really feel a lot better today. But I really was like, what did I just do?
And you feeling better today is just because you've had a couple nights sleep and
that's frustrating.
You woke up in the morning and your throat wasn't slit.
I wasn't about, Scott, I wasn't about to lowball. I don't like lowballing. But I did put out an offer there that I didn't think that they would go to, because I already knew that they were at slightly below Blue Book value. And that's pretty good anymore. Everybody's up charging it. But then when they come back and say, yeah, we can do that, and we can do all these other things, I was like, motherfucker. Because they met your demands. So, I don't know. It's how it works sometimes. I remember I was looking at I wasn't supposed to be. This was a bad time. I wasn't supposed to be looking for a car, but I went anyway. And it turned into the point where they were offering so much that I was wondering what was wrong with the car. And so finally I was like, I don't feel comfortable here. I gotta leave. No. And they had my car keys because they were evaluating my car. And it took quite a while for them to understand that my wife, and I used Becky as the excuse this time, wouldn't let me buy it. And he goes, well, my wife would let me. Okay, well, your wife. It was just one of those things. It's like, you should not come down.
Sniggering in the background, the car salesman was.
I know. Well, I didn't buy that car that day, so.
But it's the same story with every car you bought. You tried that with the Corvette people, and they gave you a price that you had to take. And
I don't even remember how that even went down. It's been so long ago. That's been a long time. That's been 6-7 years ago. No, 7 or 8, actually.
Yeah.
And that car ran really well for 3 months, literally. I don't know. Don't ever buy, folks, don't ever buy one of those. They're just, you know, 90s plastic. Anything that's made that has plastic in it, that it kind of relies on that plastic to kind of run, it's from the 90s, don't do it. Don't run, because it will kill you. So, with that,
Scott! By the way, did you ever meet that dog I met? Do you know what the dog's name was?
You've never told me.
It was Ruff.
Rolf?
No, Ruff. That's the way I liked it.
So, for Rob the wine guy and Scott the unlicensed taxi driver, we're going to bid you adieu. And for Becky, das svidaniya. And see you next time.
Is there a county sheriff that can come and arrest you?
No. No, they can. You know why?
Because you're already in jail?
That's right.
Here on the Wine Vault. Good night.